Okay, then good morning, everyone. We are very happy to see so many of you today at 9 a.m. on a Sunday. That's brave, especially if you went last night tasting some Belgian beers. That is often tradition at Fosdem. So thank you for being here. Did you know that 60% of companies already adopted automation solution, and that number is to skyrocket by the end of 2025? But that brings us a challenge. How do we manage efficiently and consistently the workflows? That's what we are here to explore today. We'll introduce you to the serverless workflow specification that tackles this challenge, and much more. But before we start, let us introduce ourselves. My name is Jean-Baptiste Bianchi, or JB for short. I'm an active member of the serverless community. I contribute to projects like the runtime dashboard, the TypeScript SDK, the VS Code extension, or even the website. As for my job, I'm a full-stack developer and co-founder of Neuroglia, a Brussels-based company I run with my associate, Charles.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks, JB. As JB said, so I'm co-founder of Neuroglia SRL, where we focus on making simple and elegant solution to complex problems. I'm also one of the lead maintainers of serverless workflow. I'm also the author of the .NET and Rust SDKs, and the creator of Synapse, which is the serverless workflow management system. Let me now introduce you, Riccardo Zanini.
Hello guys, how are you? Good to see you. My name is Riccardo Zanini. I'm from Brazil, but I'm living in Canada now. And I'm also a co-lead of the specification. I work with Charles and JB and many others there, driving, you know, the spec. I'm a principal software engineer. I work at Red Hat, and we do use the specification on one of our products. Go ahead.
Thank you, Riccardo. Thank you, Charles. So let's kick things off. Charles, tell me, what is the serverless workflow?
So serverless workflow is a vendor-agnostic, open-source, free CNCF project. It's a domain-specific language, a DSL, intended to define and describe workflows in an intuitive, robust, and portable way. It focuses on extensibility, usability, and interoperability. But let's do not make any mistake. Serverless workflow is not just a DSL or a specification. It's a whole ecosystem, really, which is made out of countless SDKs, .NET, Go, Java, PHP, Python, TypeScript, and also of a runtime, which is called Synapse, used to manage and run workflows authored with the DSL. We will showcase Synapse at the end of this presentation.
So it's not just a language, it's a full toolkit for getting your workflows up and running. But tell me, Charles, why do we need this specification in the first place?
Well, that's a very good question. And actually, according to me, the answer lies in the term lock-in, as in technology and vendor lock-in. As you all know, cloud providers out there offer a wide range of services to author, run, and manage your workflows. The problem is that it often comes with their own vendor-specific language and vendor-specific ecosystem and services. And that is where serverless workflow kicks in. As a free open-source vendor-agnostic DSL, it empowers developers to run their workflows wherever they want, whenever they want, and however they want. It runs on any platforms, any systems, and any cloud providers, while retaining absolute control of your technology stack, services, and more importantly, especially in this age of AI, data.
Breaking free from vendor locking sounds like a game changer indeed. But besides that, what are the use cases that cover serverless workflow?
Well, good question again, and there are a plethora of them, actually. On top of my mind, I can speak of agentic AIs, which is, you know, a bit trendy right now, IoT workflows, CI/CD pipelines, ETL pipelines, microservice orchestration, fast orchestration, and event-driven architecture, one of my personal favorites. But I could ramble on for hours. Thing is, if you're speaking of a workflow, high chances are serverless workflow can handle it.
Great. But now, maybe let's get a bit more technical. What are the key components of serverless workflow?
So, well, your typical workflow is written using YAML, personal favorite, obviously, for user readability, or JSON. And it is described using a couple, like a half a dozen of imperative and actionable keywords. The first one of them being document, which allows you to describe the metadata of your workflow, name, version, namespace, tags. Then we have the input and output keywords. And those allow you to define, describe, and optionally validate the data that is being ingested by your workflow and the data that is going to be produced as a result of your workflow's execution. Then we have the schedule, which is used to specify execution timing. Obviously, if you are not executing it explicitly. We have the use, which intends to define reusable component that you can reuse within your workflow in order to shorten it. It's a kind of quality of use feature. Then timeout, which is self-describable. And we have the do, which is another list of tasks that the workflow has to perform. And this is about it.
Okay, so what is that do? I think that the people here are interested in what kind of task the serverless workflow specification provide.
So it provides a dozen of different tasks, which we intended to cover the widest and broadest range of use cases. We start with the call function, call task, which is used to call functions in HTTP, OpenAPI, Async API, and gRPC. Then we have the do task, which is used to run a subset of tasks, which is you can optionally time out and manage independently from the rest of your tasks. We have the emit component, which is used to produce an event for the outside world to receive. We have the for task, which allows you to iterate over a collection of items and conditionally perform a subset of action for each of those items. We have the fork component, which allows you to run multiple branches of actions in parallel and optionally concurrently. The listen task, which is used to consume incoming events and perform complex event processing and correlation. Raise, which is used to produce a domain-specific error that you can bubble up your workflow and potentially catch. We have one of my personal favorite, the run task, which is used to run containers. So this covers already a huge range of use cases. Can run script in both JavaScript and Python, shell commands, and as well subflows. Then we have the set data task, which is used to modify and set data